There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the bill we got? I mean, the bill we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, 1207 FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile, Thursday style. Glad to have you along. A couple hours of live local talk. That's what we'll do around here. The phone and text hotline, 343-0106, 343-0106. To start off a couple of hours of disagreeability, Jeff will tell you that text is best. I will tell you that text is worse. I'd love to hear from you, hear your voice, talk with you in person. Jeff has a personality where he wants to be sheltered from your voice. I have one that embraces your voice. So be part of the show, 343-0106. All right. Number two on this list for today as we get started, the airing of the grievances. Then my friend Leanna just sprayed some Right Guard over. Do they still have Right Guard spray? Not that we ever did this in the locker room growing up, but I sprayed some Right Guard across a lit match or a lighter. She provided an accelerant there. Somebody threw gasoline on. So I, getting ready to start the show, and I've been in a kind of a stressed out situation here this week. But then my friend says, "Oh, did you see that Wallet Hub has ranked Mobile the 10th least happy city?" Okay. So the story's been out this week. I ignored this, Leanna, like I ignore every other piece of crap from Wallet Hub. There you go, Wallet Hub. I had the person on the years ago on the show when they put some... Everything that Wallet Hub has ever released about Mobile has stunk. Has stunk. I would implore the other media companies in town to quit taking and cutting and pasting the stupid email from Wallet Hub saying what's wrong with our city. I don't need Wallet Hub to tell me, you know, that they don't approve or their metrics show that Mobile is not happy or Mobile is fat or Mobile is poor or Mobile. Eventually, if all you got is bad news for me, Wallet Hub, I quit listening to you. If not on occasion, do you say, well, you know what? Here's a survey that really looked good for Mobile. And then maybe I'll pay attention to you when it's bad. But when every one of them sucks, they're not relevant to me either. You know what? Let's do some survey here. I got a survey for you. Let's look at because their survey was the unhappy cities. They did the 150 most populated U.S. cities. Let's do a list of the 150 websites that don't suck, all right? And I used 31 relevant metrics. I did phone surveys, internet surveys, front porch surveys, and it comes back. You don't even make the list, Wallet Hub, because you suck. So WKRG or whatever other news source here wants to continue to cut and paste the... Because I get the same emails from Wallet Hub. I should have blocked them, but maybe I just need that kind of discord in my life to see their... Mobile is the 99th worst. So great, Wallet Hub. Find a new audience. And around here, I've not been doing their stories for many years. But elsewhere, they do. Which prompts friends of mine, like Leanna, to go, Sean, did you... Yes, I saw it and I ignored it too. All right, with that, let's do this. It's Midday Mobile. We're springing forward this weekend. How exciting. Hats off to Dan and Dalton this morning going, same question I've asked over the years. Are you, as we talk about the stupid resiliency word, not that resiliency is a word or resilient is stupid, but it's so cliched and overused and used where it shouldn't be, like the word hero gets thrown around as well. Because that's been, everything's resilient. And it's a resilient, oh, look, he fell down and he got back up. He's resilient. Look, they had a bad day yesterday, but they still got up and went to work the next day. They're resilient. Shut up with cliched resiliency. But so Dan and Dalton talked about this morning. I've talked about it over the years. All these things to get you ready for the time change. That it's like, well, people have got to get ready and plan days ahead. You're telling me that an adjustment of 1 hour, that you can't hack that? 1 hour is too much. Oh, my life. If I don't prepare for this, if I don't prepare myself for 1 hour, how am I going to do it? Following that right there along with Wallet Hub. Also, just a side note, just a note I'd made like a back of the napkin note here as I got the show started. Do you think it's interesting that, so Jeff Bezos, well, I used to say Jeff Bezos, but now our news partners say Bezos or Bozo or whatever. So Amazon guy, Jeff B to the E to the Z to the O, right? Isn't that right? It's Bezo. All right. So Amazon fighting union incorporation, and I think that my guess is it does have something to do with that bad news for Spanish Fort. At the same time, Joffrey with Amazon owns the Washington Post. Do you want to pull some stories from the Washington Post and see what they say about organized labor? They're celebrating it, right? It's everything's great until it's his business, until it's Amazon. So out of one side, you get the print and online publication, which probably does rank maybe in the top 200 websites that don't suck, unlike Wallet Hub. This going to preach, everything, how strong and unions, and it has a very left. But when it comes to their other business and Amazon making money, then you can't unionize. Just thought I'd point that out as we got things rolling here on a Thursday. Oh, also, coming up on the show today, so in a second, Dale Leach from Lane App's going to join me. A lot to talk about when it comes to Amtrak. If I thought this story was more off the tracks and had derailed earlier in the week, if I thought as of Monday it had derailed, wait till you hear the latest Dale has over at LaneAppMobile.com. We'll talk about that. But beyond that, a bill right now, this is, we talked to you about how important Montgomery is and how much time we spend on this show and the morning show, Jeff's show, how much we spend time talking about what goes on in Montgomery, unlike the low-hanging fruit of just going through the regular talking points of whatever the story is out of Washington each day, right? This good, this bad, pit the sides against each other. And I always say, pay attention to Montgomery because there are things going on there that you need to watch because those things most likely will affect your life more than something out of Washington, except for their latest run on Second Amendment rights and First Amendment rights. And there's a bill right now pending in the Senate. We're going to get into this at the end of the hour, the beginning of next hour. A bill pending in the Senate that could cost y'all, averaging out, it depends on your group, but $1,000 a year more in increased health insurance expenses on top of what you're paying right now. A bill right now that they discussed in committee yesterday. See, this didn't make the Wallet Hub says Mobile sucks makes the top of the thing. But the story that says, hey, by the way, there are people in Montgomery deliberating on a bill that could mean $1,000 a piece more for all of us on our health insurance in a future year, starting next year. Ranging from some of these from $700 to $1,200 a year in extra costs. I'll pay it off. We'll land the plane coming up into this hour or next hour. But I know it's not as exciting as talking about how in the 31 metrics that Wallet Hub looks for, like ice skating locations and mountains and Antifa rallies, that we don't score very well. So, but while everybody's paying attention to that, all of us will talk about stuff that actually matters to your bottom line. All right. Speaking of spending some money, and speaking of local, the Amtrak question. Dale Leach from Lanyap joins me next. Hey, I'm glad you're here. Y'all feel good?
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Yeah, so maybe we start commissioning that and working on it. We'll start doing our own survey. So if you get a call from the FM Talk 106.5 survey department, you'll know it's Well, I was going to say it's not a scam. I don't think it's going to be a scam. And we'll be surveying you on your feelings on Wallet Hub. And what we'll do is we'll do a bunch of surveys, and we'll see how Wallet Hub ranks. And then weekly, what we're going to do is send an email to Wallet Hub and say, hey, would you like to have us on and talk about this? Like they pitched, would you like us to come on and talk about how out of the 500 worst websites on planet Earth, y'all are number two? You would like us to come on and talk about it? Just an idea. All right, you talking about a good website and a place run by some good local folks that live here and dig it, and specifically this guy is top shelf. Dale Leish with Lanyap, lanyapmobile.com, joins us now. Hey, man.
Hey, what's the worst website on that list? I'm just curious.
I can't even say it on the air.
Oh, it's that bad.
Okay. Yeah, so it's stuff, is some horrible thing from the dark web is the worst. And then number two, just to like, kittentorture.com, the next one down, Wallet Hub.
Well, now that I've got everybody's attention, I really wish Wallet Hub would stop emailing me because I'm never going to run anything that they give me.
See, okay, we're giving y'all some behind the curtain. So in the world of print, my man Dale is getting them. I'm in electronic, and they figured out all their emails in town, and he gets the emails. I get the emails. We don't say anything about them. But TV stations decide, let's run this. Let's run every week. Let's run some study about some survey that the place that we live and broadcast in sucks.
Right.
Okay. All right. So much to get into here. Let's talk. If we could go back in the conversations about Amtrak and to Amtrak or not Amtrak for Mobile, you and I would have probably talked 5 or 6 hours on this over the years. Do you agree?
We've talked a lot. Yes.
And now it's. I'm reading your piece at lanyapmobile.com, and there were so many. I ran out of highlighting segments here where, okay, let's go through this, because you've got the message coming from Amtrak, you have the message coming from the local tourism division, you have the question from the Southern Rail Commission, you have, I don't know, the freight carriers. Can you put this in some kind of sense for me?
I mean, it to me, it kind of sounds like Amtrak sort of kind of caught everybody off guard with their announcement that they were going to, kind of forego this modeling study that would have said how much infrastructure costs would be and how much it would cost and what it would look like for the freight rails and for Amtrak to kind of coexist on the tracks we have here in Alabama and especially down here in our area. And it kind of just seems like Amtrak kind of just gave up on this and the study. And yeah, there were absolutely delays, and I'm sure COVID had a hand in that. But even the Southern Rail Commission, at least the commissioners here from Alabama, are like, let's pump the brakes a little bit and let's try to make it. They just want to make sure everybody works together and everybody's happy. Because I think that if not everybody's happy, Amtrak's not going to just be able to force its way in. So I think there's going to be some issues, but it definitely sounds to me like this Amtrak announcement that they were going to be running by 2022 caught everybody off guard a little bit.
Yeah, and I'm going to point out, and you'll read through this in Dale's story, but it's not like here are people that hate trains and here's Amtrak. It is people that are vested in this happening, right, are saying, Amtrak, y'all chill some here. I mean, right, you got, yeah, the Southern Rail Commission going, what did they say, short-sighted leadership approach?
Yeah, that was one commissioner down here. Yeah, that's right. Short-sighted leadership approach to kind of just not, I think there's some compromise and some teamwork that I think that they're kind of queuing in on there that's not happening. And, I think everything works better when there's, and I think this Southern Rail Commissioner would agree that everything works better when everybody's kind of working together and collaborating.
Yeah,
and I mean, he wants to see the train.
Right. That's what I'm getting at. I mean, if people who don't understand it like you do, Southern Rail Commission, these people want passenger service out of Mobile. They're all in and have been for years on this. And they kind of got to go, Amtrak, man, you got to do better.
Right. Amtrak, during the latest Southern Rail Commission meeting, which is always a barn burner, I highly recommend tuning in. at the latest Southern Rail Commission meeting, Amtrak basically came and had a proposal that in Mobile they could use the existing platform by the over by the convention center, and that like with other cities, Amtrak would pay for the improvements to that platform. They're kind of sweetening the deal a little bit for cities that may be a little bit resistant. So what about Brooklyn? They're going to pay for the new platform, and then the city would have to pay for like enhanced parking and stuff.
But didn't we? I mean, wasn't it the last time or time before we were talking about how hey, that one of the solutions or way to mitigate the issues with freight would be to move the terminal to Brooklyn, and then it would tie in with the airport, and you know we jetpack rentals and everything.
That's still a consideration, but that wouldn't be done by 2022, and that's the problem. If they want to start the service in 2022, they'd have to start it at the legacy site there by the convention center.
Yeah, all the time.
You could eventually see them putting in some sort of platform or station at Brooklyn and kind of making it a multimodal hub there, where you eventually be able to get on a commercial plane or get off a commercial plane and take the train somewhere. That's kind of what they're envisioning, I think.
Reed, instead of just having Dale do it, I'll do Sean Sullivan doing the voice of Dale Leash from his story at LandNetMobile.com. It's unclear how the Mobile City Council will react to these new developments. About a year ago, councilors approved about $3 million for operations of the service for 3 years, contingent upon completion of the study that Amtrak now admits it has no intention of completing. The council could also balk at the approval of $80,000 for the study of a new station for the same reason. Dale, this is off the rails, man.
Good pun. We did make that money for operations contingent upon the study being, you know, finished. And obviously, it doesn't look like that's going to happen. Now, there are three entities involved in this, and it seems like two of the three would like for the study to continue, and only one of the other entities is like, we don't need it. So, I mean, there are going to be some layers to this, but I am curious, because the council would need 5 votes to do anything. You know, they'd need 5 votes to approve it. I don't know if right now if they have the 5 votes they need to move forward.
I guess I have to offer these preambles to people that haven't listened over time. I'll tell y'all for all transparency, Dale's a journalist, doesn't do this. I'm an editorialist. I like the idea of a train. If we can do this without throwing tons of money, the idea of passenger service, I have kind of a romantic idea of riding the train. But this is crap right here. We have been doing this for year after year after year after year. Different governors, different presidents, different people, you know, in city management. And we sit here and they don't even want to do the study that they set up as the study to say whether the city would commit money.
Because it apparently is taking too long in an environment and with a pandemic that's making everything take longer. They've had time before the pandemic.
You know, they did have some time before the pandemic.
They did. But I mean, that's what we're dealing with. So, and I'll go on record as saying, I would enjoy the random trip to New Orleans via train. I would take that trip for sure. I think that there's got to be some give and take here. And I don't know if Amtrak is willing to come back to the table.
But they got to understand, I mean, if they're saying, okay, well, we're ready to do this, but we have to have these partnerships.
Right.
You almost at a state level or local level, you want to stand back and say, okay, then do it. If you said you're going to do it, then do it.
Right.
But they don't.
Right.
They need, it seems like the local interaction is the only way this can happen. So for Amtrak to live up to what it's saying, it should deal with Southern Rail Commission. It should deal with the city of Mobile. It should deal with doing these studies. I mean, part of your story said they changed software, so they lost the information for their studies they needed?
They had started the study and then somehow or other changed software and lost some of it, some of the data. That's what they told me. I won't say it's absolutely true, but that's what they said in the meeting.
Fantastic excuse. Fantastic.
And let me just point out that the $3 million that the city has put toward operation for the first 3 years, that's a state match. So that they were basically paying what the state wouldn't to get.
Right, because Ivy did not do it.
I don't even know. Yeah. If Amtrak can move forward without that money, it's all a big question mark, and it honestly seems like the city was kind of caught off guard.
Well, So am I. And we'll come back. We'll talk more about this and talk about the council, more with Dale about what. Let's play this game, all right? What city council has met remotely longer than any other? It's your Trivial Pursuit question that will pay you off with a piece of pie when we come back. All right, news is next.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
FM Talk 106.5, online, fmtalk1065.com. Leanna, do you see that? You notice the trend, the people, and I'm going to, if we don't get them all this hour, because we're talking to Dale, I'll read some next hour, but the folks that, well, first of all, I'm more than happy that notice I come to the text that disagrees with me first, because that's the ones I find most interesting, but I think all those people that have texted something around with this I'm about to read are unnamed texters. But this says, Sullivan, be honest. Mobile's a depressed area. Spanish Fort, Fairhope, many other areas in Baldwin County are nice, but Mobile isn't. People trying to say Mobile is nice because it's close to those areas, but that's just not true. I do know who can't say these things. I don't know what that means exactly, but I think Mobile is nice. Are there parts of Mobile that need help? You dang right there are. But this is my town, man. This is my city. And there are plenty of areas of Mobile that are really nice. If you don't think the architecture of Mobile, you drive through downtown, that's not nice. Midtown, Garden District, areas of, I mean, you know what? You get in the shopping center blight that exists anywhere out there. But and some areas with, you know, the blight situation, the city took care of, they said the other day, like 40% of the homes or something, and Dale may be able to correct me, of the blight issue when Mayor Stimson took office. So I think it's, I like Mobile. So I am going to be honest. You said, be honest, Mobile's a depressed area. Lots of uplifting things for me here. No, but my point is, we can talk about Mobile versus other areas. What I'm not going to do, though, is do like, just regurgitate what Wallet Hub thinks about my hometown. Just not going to do it. I'm going to start doing surveys about Wallet Hub and throw it right back on them. All right, continue our conversation with some homeboy discussion with Dale Leash from Lanyap and LanyapMobile.com. Did we, I mean, how about this? Before we go to the next story, so the end of this discussion, or the next chapter, how about this, of the discussion is what? With Amtrak and the city and the Southern Rail Commission and anybody else we want to throw in there. What happens next?
I mean, the next chapter is the question of what the city's going to do, right? I mean, we already have two council members who seem ready to punt on the deal that they already made because the contingency hasn't been met. So unless you have the rest of the other five agree that they want the train bad enough to forego that, you're going to have an issue where the city could balk at that funding, and that will be a problem.
And then does Amtrak say, well, we were just kidding, or what?
I mean, I guess it could force Amtrak back to the table. What I think you're going to see is some schmoozing through the Southern Rail Commission trying to get Amtrak back to the table. And I think ultimately, if there's a lot of pushback at the city level or the state level, we've already seen pushback at the state level. If you see pushback at the city level, I think you're going to see sort of an enhanced effort to get Amtrak back to the table and get that study done.
We will follow your reporting on this for sure. And, you know, part of your job, it used to be I'd say, man, another day, you and I'd talk before we'd go on after council meetings. I'd say, oh, another day in the fun house down there at Government Plaza. But I hadn't said that to you in a year. You know, you've been watching the Brady Bunch TV show for the city council, right?
Absolutely. It's been Brady Bunch is up. Is a good analogy for it.
Brady Bunch is up.
For sure.
Yeah. So, I mean, if y'all haven't followed this, like Dale has to for his job, and I don't know, drawn to like a moth to a flame. City Council has been, how long have they been doing the Zoom meeting and live stream?
Since at least August, consistently. They were meeting in person before that, and they had they had the mask mandate and forced people to wear Matthew, if you don't remember, they were throwing or asking several people to be escorted out for not appropriately wearing masks. So at that point, I think they decided to go all virtual, and they've been doing it ever since.
And they weren't the only ones, right? I mean, there were other other city councils or government entities around the country, let alone in Alabama.
I mean, the state school board apparently still is meeting virtually, so it's not completely unheard of. But as far as the big four cities, Huntsville, Birmingham, Montgomery, and Mobile has been doing it. By the way, this is the answer to your trivia question. Mobile has been doing it the longest.
Ah, there you go, y'all.
Yeah. I mean, and there are a number of issues that come up with that. I mean, so Birmingham started going virtual in this January because there were the spikes after New Year and all that stuff that people were dealing with. But before that, they were meeting in person, obviously with restrictions to who could get in and things like that. And Huntsville, Montgomery, the same way. They let some folks in, especially if they wanted to speak to the council or had like a public hearing item. And then in Montgomery, they allowed one reporter per outlet in with the meeting, as well as staff and the counselors. So they were still doing meetings in person. They were just restricting how many people were in the auditorium. Mobile, as you know, has been doing it since August virtually, and they've been you can go to the city hall and speak. You can go to Government Plaza and speak. But it's basically a terminal, like an iPad that they set up and let you speak to the council via Zoom.
I wonder this. I don't know if this has come out. When did the California teachers go remote?
Oh, I don't know that.
I don't know
the answer to that. Yeah,
somebody can Google that while Dale and I are talking. Because I wonder. I just wonder if
text it to us, please.
Yes, if the California Teachers Union that's been a little bit of hot water here this week with their staying out and, the whole thing about go to vacation but don't take pictures because it ruins our argument that we're not going back. I wonder if the California Teachers Union or the Mobile City Council has been doing remote longest, not going back.
that's a good question. That's a good question. Some of the council members told me, the ones that I spoke to told me they were ready to come back. They just didn't want to force other council members who maybe felt like they weren't ready to come back to force them to come back. So they were okay with virtual. I don't know this for a fact, but I fear that this is hurting public participation in the meetings. Mm-hmm. I mean, after all, this is an open meeting issue more than anything else. I think people are discouraged to speak because you gotta have a computer and you gotta have the internet and you gotta have Zoom or you have to go, and do the Zoom thing at City Hall, and I just don't know how many people are willing to do that.
No, I think number one, I think it's a bad look now as things, maybe we get to next month and the mask mandate is lifted for the state if they continue. Then that's a question. And is there any way to compel them? Is there any mechanism? I mean, this is all these unknowns.
Well, the governor could rescind her order that said that open meetings could be performed via Zoom because they made alterations to the Open Meetings Act to allow members to meet remotely. At first, if you'll remember, they could meet remotely, but they weren't allowed to vote unless they were in person. They changed that with one of the governor's supplemental orders. And it allowed votes to happen via Zoom, and that's where all of this took off from. So yeah, if the governor in her pulling the mask mandate, if she takes other steps and amends her orders further, we could see her revert back to the old Open Meetings Act, which would force them to either meet in person or not vote on anything. So that would be what would compel them to do it, I think.
All right, and before we wrap, last story here, and then I want to talk about the new issue of Lanyap. Tardy Gras, is that the term we're using? Is hashtag Tardy Gras here for this May Mardi Gras?
Yeah, as long as I get the appropriate credit I deserve for coining that term, sure.
There you go. ladies and gentlemen.
I was very excited. I was really excited to get to use that term, and I'm excited that other people are using it. So I'm really joking, but yeah, I'm excited about Tardy Gras. My family's excited. May 21st, city's planning a parade of sorts, Mardi Gras style, to honor the christening of the USS Mobile. So hopefully that's going to be a big party. We can all let off some steam.
All right, so it will be, I know I saw some, and we'll talk about this coming up later on the show, some amended parade route. It's shortened. It's not going to be, you know, it's not going to be a normal parade route, but it'll be something. It'll be something, and we're going to be putting on our best behavior for all the Navy folks, right?
That's right. Yeah, I think Mobile Mask had a breakdown of sort of what the parade route was going to look like. I think it was a shortened Route A for mm-hmm. folks who are familiar with how the parade routes work. Start at the Civic Center and go down Royal Street, stuff like that. So it'll be abbreviated, but it'll feel like Mardi Gras, I think.
Feel like a parade, feel like a party for sure. Better than
absolutely.
Not having one. All right, this week's Laying Up. Talk about number one cover story and talk about where they can pick up their copies, and then we'll talk about the website.
Yeah. The cover story is about the Coles family, and sort of the support they've received from the Catholic community in Fairhope after their son Rusty was killed in a four-wheeler accident about 4 years ago. So that was a really touching story, and mm-hmm. it was meaningful to me because it's my wife's family. So
wow, I didn't know that.
It meant a lot to me to write it, and so please read it. And if you want to subscribe to Lanyap, please do. Lanyapmobile.com is the website. Subscribe to the website. Just press the subscribe button and give us some money.
See, this is, y'all see why Dale and I get along. He just puts things the way they need to be put. I appreciate it. No, that's good. That's language I can understand. As always, y'all go do what Dale says. Sign up. I've been signed up ever since it came online. So y'all do the same. Dale, you have a good week and weekend, and we'll talk to you soon.
Talk to you later. Thank you, Sean.
All right, there he is, the legendary Tardy Gras, Dale Leash. Yeah, so we'll talk about Tardy Gras and some of that when we come back. Also got a ton of calls to get to and text here. Well, I got messages and text. You can hop on the phone now at 343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 12:51 FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile, Thursday style. If you're new to town, hi, my name is Sean. We're glad you're here. Please stay at our hotels and get that lodging tax. We need it. All right, we welcome you to town. All right, I mentioned this at the beginning of the show, and this may be a story that holds over to the next hour if I can't get through all of it. But I want 12 o'clock audience and 1 o'clock audience to both know about this. It's pretty important, and we're talking about how important watching what happens in Montgomery is. And I understand. I talk about a whole bunch of gaming bill, and we'll do that more next hour. But this is a bill that this has not gotten much attention here. I think it should. Yellowhammer News has the story about it. Sean Ross put it up. Said, bill pending in Senate would cost many Alabamians $1,000 per year or more in increased health insurance expenses. Okay, here it is. Alabama Senate Banking and Insurance Committee on Wednesday held a public hearing on SB 227. Tell you, with all the emails I get from Wallet Hub, I did not see anything telling me about 227 that they were going to discuss. This is sponsored by Senator Tom Butler, Republican out of Madison, says, while it has flown under the public radar thus far, you got that right, Sean Ross, the bill could potentially be one of the most costly pieces of legislation for hardworking Alabama families proposed in recent memory. I love Sean Ross, but the other word, resilient, I want stricken from the vocabulary for its clichedness, and hardworking. Every dang political, anything. Hard work in Alabama. All these hard... Some of them are lazy. I'll tell you right now, I know them. Okay. It says, as explained during the public hearing, the measure would interfere with the ability of pharmacy benefit managers. There may be some of y'all that know about this. This is kind of news to me. The acronym here, PBMs, to negotiate lower prescription drug costs for Alabamians on group health insurance plans, including self-insured plans and other employer-based plans. Butler, a pharmacist by trade, asserts that independent pharmacies are being hurt by PBMs. Opponents of the bill will argue that PBMs save customers money, which is a good thing for the public at large. So there's at least a little bit of an interesting angle here, because I want to support local pharmacies. I would suggest you go to local pharmacies, local business. But to what cost? Justin Wright, he goes on to put in the story here, Justin Wright, Executive Vice President and Chief Financial Officer of Abbey Bill's Great Southern Wood Preserving, explained to the committee that the company utilizes a self-insured health care plan as a benefit for its employees. As such, the plan is covered between the company and the employees participating in the plan, which means that any increased costs fall on the company and the participating employees. They said voluntarily using two PBMs, Wright said that Great Southern Wood's health care plan costs have gone down twice and stayed level twice over the last 4 years. I can tell you around here, that's not the story. We keep going up a lot. Wright subsequently outlines how, as the architect of their own plan, Great Southern Wood incentivizes participating employees to patronize community pharmacies, there you go, rather than big box chains. This practice ends up saving the plan money while supporting locally owned businesses at the same time, all while still using PBMs. Let's bring it down here. He offers a lot of different examples, but it says here, another opponent of the bill was Danny Rickard. All right, so local. Danny Rickard, Chief Policy Officer for the University of South Alabama and USA Health. He underscored that USA is the largest employer in Mobile with around 7,000 employees and 11,000 covered under USA's self-insured health care plan. Says here a quote from Rickard, Senate Bill 227 regarding PBMs is going to be detrimental to the people who pay our premiums. That's both us, the university, as well as me, an employee, and all of our employees who cover the cost of our premiums, end quote. He added that SB 227 would essentially guarantee premium increases for those participating in USA's employee health care plan, which successfully uses PBM on a voluntary basis. Here's some numbers, y'all. This is what got my attention when I first saw it. Rickard stated that if the bill were to pass in its current form, the measure would cost USA employees between $4.6 million and $5.5 million annually. Per USA health plan contract holder, this would break down to about $940 to $1,100 per year per employee. David Cole, Senior Vice President for Governmental Affairs at BCA, Business Council of Alabama, also spoke during the public hearing. BCA represents nearly 1 million working Alabamians through its member... Okay, this is like it was written from a press release. Through its member companies and local chambers of commerce, and Cole outlined that the huge cost increases projected by Great Southern Wood and USA are not unique to those two major employers under SB 227. He said, the responses that we've gotten from businesses, our members from Main Street, are significant. Said businesses of all sizes in the likes of Birmingham, Tuscaloosa, Fayette, Alabaster, Greensboro, and Mobile had similarly expressed serious concerns with the legislation. Those that have already provided feedback to BCA with specific numbers projected annual per employee cost increases of around $1,000. And that's over all those companies. Believe me, I'm trying to figure out what it would be, what the implication would be for all of us here at Bigler Broadcasting. Just like you're probably going to try to figure out how it would be for you. So I'm going to link this story up on the Twitter feed, but this is SB 227. You got these people lining up saying, if this happens and you can't use these PBMs, which I'm going to educate myself on, although there's probably some of y'all that are, I know some of y'all in the insurance world out there can help me with it, but this could cost people on top of what you're already paying for health insurance, at least according to what happened in this committee meeting yesterday. Could cost you another $1,000. Now, I'd like to hear the opinion of independent pharmacists. I know we have had some in the past that are listeners to the show. I'd love to hear from you, see what the PBM and how that actually works on your side. But is there a way you do this and still support local pharmacies without costing individuals another $1,000 on top of what they're paying already for health insurance? This is significant. Significant. This is one of these stories. It's not as exciting as, you know, Biden is President Biden is senile, or not as exciting as gambling that we talk about a whole bunch, or whatever their stories. You know, Wallet Hub says we're no good. But this is something that could cost you $1,000 more on your health insurance. I don't know about y'all. I'm getting pretty close to maxed out on that in our budget. All right, we'll take calls and text on this and a whole lot of other subjects next hour at 343-0106, 343-0106.